Last week, as I thought about the first message of the new year, 2018, the number 18 jumped out at me. You know, 18 is a significant number. At 18, you are in some respects, perhaps many respects, recognized as an adult. In November of 1970, Alice Cooper came out with a hit song called I'm 18 that described what an 18-year-old sometimes feels like. Part of the song goes as follows. I'm in the middle without any plans. I'm a boy and I'm a man. I'm 18 and I don't know what I want. 18, I just don't know what I want. 18, I gotta get away. I gotta get out of this place. I'll go running in outer space. Well, Alice Cooper, was, at that point in his life, for certain, was that group, and was not any kind of example of what an 18-year-old should be, but he caught the essence that an 18-year-old says, I'm a boy and I'm a man. I'm 18 and I don't know what I want. It's a time of becoming at 18 years old. Our society, you know, well, 18 can be an exciting age, but it's also a confusing age. Our society recognizes it as a significant age of becoming. I was thinking a while ago, how long has it been since I was 18? 34 years ago. Yes, shh, I won't say how long it's been for you. Not that long for you, Kim. Yeah, you're a lot younger than I am. Yeah. 18, a significant age. The 26th Amendment of our Constitution made 18 the legal voting age. At 18, you're no longer a minor. You can work a full-time job, apply for loans, get a bank account without your parents signing on with you. At 18, you can get married without your parents' permission. Sarah, where are you? Rachel, oh, there. Oh. Becca used to have to ask permission. Eighteen-year-olds are required to register for the Selective Service. 18-year-olds are subject to serve on jury duty. 18 marks age, of course, an individual graduates from high school and begins college, technical school, or military service. 18 is age of becoming and marks hopefully a milestone in a teenager's life of growth. But as I thought about all of us, whether you're 18 or 80 or 8 years old or 30, that this year of 2018 would be an age of growth and maturity and of becoming what God is calling us to be and to know His will and to grow in our knowledge of who God is. And I pray that 2018 will be a year of growth for each of us. Now, a couple ways this is a great time of year to begin reading the Bible. Amen. And I'm part of a Bible reading group. I think there's 5 of us in this group, and each day we are reading a few chapters of God's Word each day. But if you go to YouVersion, if you have a smartphone, they have all kinds of Bible reading plans. There's you don't even have to read a chapter today. But I want to encourage you to begin reading the Bible. And I've encouraged some folks that even if you read one verse a day, and we have out on the front table the open windows, which gives a few verses to read each day and a little devotional thought, that you begin there. You start where you're at, and you know, by reading God's word and praying, that this will aid you in your Christian walk. But I pray that it'll be a great year of growth for all of us. This morning, as we look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we see that Paul is writing some people at Colossae, a town there in Asia Minor, encouraging them in their growth. I pray that these verses will encourage all of us this year of 18, that God will help us grow in our knowledge of Him and His will, that we'll live a fruitful life worthy of Him. Colossians chapter 1, then verse 9, it's on the screen behind me, or there's Bibles in the back of the pew, or your Bible. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 11, where Paul writes, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will, through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power and according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." I'll go ahead and read verse 12 as well. It says, "And giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light." As Paul wrote to these folks at Colossae, you might remember when we were going through Revelations, Book of Revelation last year, that Colossae was one of the seven churches that's in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And I'm under the impression, at least at this point of him writing, that he had not been there, at least yet. But he has heard about them. He has heard about them. There in verse 4 of Colossians 1, it says, "Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people." He had heard about the people of Colossae, that they were growing, that they had come to know the Lord Jesus as the Lord and Savior, but they were growing, and as part of the evidence of the maturity, they were bearing fruit, and people were talking about the love that these people of Colossae had and their faith. Well, as I think of 18 as the age of becoming and transformation, it's exciting to see an 18-year-old as they're growing and becoming. And then they go off to college. It's time of transformation. Next month, by the way, next month, I will be the father of two 18-year-olds for 2 weeks. Rachel and Rebecca will be 18 for like 2 weeks, from the 7th through the 20th. They'll pray for me. No, 18-year-old, I'm, of course, Sarah is now, 21 years old. Yeah, but it's a time, I'm proud of my girls. It's a time where they've, you get to be a senior in high school and you're going off to college. It's a time of growth and transformation where they've achieved some things in high school and throughout their public school career. And it's a time of transitioning. I always have people asking me about the girls. Well, how are they doing down in college? Almost every day, when I'm at SNAP over here working out, they have some groupies. Patricia and Rachel and Rebecca have some groupies over there, the old men, that are saying, "Well, how's the girls doing?" You know, and if they're when Rebecca was in playing volleyball this fall, they want to know, how's the game go? They're hearing about them, and they want to know, how are they progressing? Well, 18 years old, or 2018, I want it to be a time where we're recognizing God is helping us to grow in a mighty way. Verse 9 that we just read says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with a knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. They had heard about the people of Colossae. They had heard that they were a people that were growing in their faith and love, and they were praying for them. And one of the things we can do to help each other grow is praying for one another. Somebody said, well, I need the prayers and you need the practice. That is, praying. So please pray for me. But as he was praying for these folks, he prayed that they would have a greater knowledge, a growing knowledge of God's will, and that the Holy Spirit would give them a depth of understanding about God's will for their life. When you think about somebody that's turning 18, it's a time of what's next? What's next? What does God want me to do? I remember when I was a senior in high school, I didn't turn 18 until I was halfway through my freshman year in college. But I remember that time when you're 18 years old, you're wondering, what in the world am I going to do now? Where am I going to go to college? Over the last few years, we've made some college trips. I've done the FAFSA. If any of you parents of college students, you know what the FAFSA, that's a federal, something where you apply for federal aid for the Pell Grant and stuff. I filled that out multiple times. I filled it out 3 times this year, already. But it's a time when 18-year-olds are asking some questions. They're wondering, what is it that I'm going to be doing? But the greatest question, or one of the great questions of growth, spiritual growth, is what does God want? Now, I remember when I was 18, there was a lot of things that I wanted, We think about our lives and, I want this, I want that, I want this kind of a car, I want this kind of a job, I want this kind of a salary, I want, what have you. But the real question is, what does God want? What is God's will? To know and to seek what God wants is transformational. When it's all about what you want, you're not going to experience the growth that God wants to bring into your life. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Romans 12:2 says, don't conform. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. A lot of times we're wanting what everybody else is wanting. We're wanting, and it's funny, whatever the world wants, that changes, according to the fashions, the patterns of this world. It's like an ever-changing current that, this is what you need to wear now, or this is how you need to think now, this is what you need to do now. But Paul says, don't conform to the patterns of this world. The pattern, it's like, here's the pattern you to follow. Now, I like patterns to follow if I'm trying to cut out something, because I'm not good at, freehand stuff. So, but it says, don't conform to the patterns of this world. Don't want what the world wants. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed, as I preached on this passage a few times at least, is the Greek word metamorphosis. That's a picture of a butterfly. Was it start out as a little caterpillar, is that right? And then it gets in the cocoon, and then it breaks out of the cocoon, and then eventually it opens up its wings and flies. That is a process of transforming and becoming. Amen. And when we seek to know what God wants, we're not just going to be the same old woolly worm of this world. You can follow the path of this world and just be an old woolly worm out there, but God has something more to know. And Paul says, I'm praying that you might know God's will, to know what God wants, because that is what transforms your life, and to know what he has planned for you to become. As God's Spirit, as our minds are renewed through God's Word and through God's Spirit living within us, it transforms. He said, not stop praying. I continue to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding of the Spirit. To know what God wants. You know, Jesus said that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all truth. And God's Spirit, if you'll let him this year, God's Spirit will guide you and give you a deep understanding to know what direction you're to go in and his plan for your life. To know what God wants and to seek God's will. You know, Matthew 6:33 is a great verse for not just the first part of the year, but throughout the year. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek what the king wants. And his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you as well. But to discover God's will and to allow his Holy Spirit to guide you and to deepen you and to give you wisdom. Wisdom is the skill of life. Knowing how to live life and to make godly choices. Wisdom. And Paul, as he's praying for these people that are growing Christians, he says, I'm not stopping praying for you. I'm continuing to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will and the Holy Spirit giving you wisdom and understanding. In verse 10, he says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. This past week, I was watching sports. I was watching ESPN, which I don't know what that's. I guess that's my weakness is, keeping up with all the NBA and all this stuff. It really doesn't matter when it comes down to real life, but it sure is a distraction. That does, you know, most of the time you're not going to get in trouble watching sports, hopefully. But I've been following the story of the Ball family. The Ball family. You know who the Ball family is? It's a father. LeVar Ball, and I think he played for USC basketball for USC, and his wife played basketball in college as well, and they have three sons. Lonzo, LaMelo, and let's see if I can find it here in my notes. Leangelo, LaMelo, and Lonzo, the Ball family. And I think the father even has a website called BigBallers.com that they're big basketball players. And the father, LeVar, has this big plan. His plan is that his three sons play for the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, Lonzo is on the Lakers. He scored 11 points the night before last. And he got two steals and four or five assists. And this father, you talk about a sports dad. I mean, he's got it all planned out. Now, his middle son, LaMelo, was going to UCLA, and you might have seen this. LaMelo was involved in some shoplifting episode there in China. Remember, it's been a couple, 3 months ago. And these basketball players were arrested, and anyway, they were released and to come back to America. Well, after that, LaVar was kind of, the father was pretty upset, and he said, well, I'm taking my son out of UCLA. This past week, This past week, I saw where LeVar has taken his two younger sons, the 19-year-old LaMelo and the 16-year-old LiAngelo, to play professional ball in Lithuania. And the plan is they're going to get so good that the Los Angeles Lakers, all three of his boys, are going to be playing there. Now, I don't even know how to wrap my mind around that. Yeah, the father definitely has a plan for his sons. And attitudes go along with it. But I'm thinking, you know what? There's a greater plan. There's a greater plan. That's, we need to find out what God's will is. And to live a life worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ that pleases Him. And that is our goal, to please the Lord. Amen. Whether you're 18 or 80, there's no greater thing than knowing and doing God's will. When you discover that, and you live a life worthy of the Lord, and to please Him in every way, then you're growing. Then you're growing. Have you ever wondered, how will I know when my life is truly accomplishing something? You know, I'm 52 years old. Every time that birthday comes around, I wonder, you know, what difference? You know, you want your life to make a difference. This says to live a life worthy of the Lord. Now, that word worthy, I've talked about this before too. Worthy, this idea of worth. A lot of times in the ancient world, if they were to determine worth, a lot of it was based on the weight, how much something weighs. You know, you had so much grain over here. Well, how much does it weigh? Or if you're trying to determine how much silver or gold or something, how much that's worth, you would have a pair of scales to determine worth. And they would hopefully have on this side a set of weights that was reliable, you know. That wasn't made extra heavy so they could, you know, try to cheat you out of your gold or silver. But the weight over here, to find out how many ounces of silver you had, you'd put an ounce over here, and then you'd put silver, and then you would know that now you have an ounce of silver. What you have is that, and you determine worth by balance, okay? So if you place something on this side, to have equal worth, you'd have to place something on this side that would balance it out. And Paul says, I pray that you'll live, I keep on asking the Lord that you'll live a life worthy of the Lord. So if you're trying to determine a life worthy of the Lord, you would place the Lord Jesus Christ on this side. And you would know and learn all about Jesus and how much who He is. And then on this side, what would you place to begin to balance out this side? You'd have to place everything, wouldn't you? To live a life worthy of the Lord, you have to place your life in His hands first. To live a life that is pleasing to Him, that honors Him, is what we're looking for. To live a life worthy of the Lord, a growing Christian life, you want to please Him in everything you do. On further in this book of Colossians, this letter that Paul wrote, in Colossians 3:17, Paul wrote, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." A growing life honors the Lord. Amen? Amen. It shows how much God is worth to you. He's worth everything. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. For an 18-year-old, turning in an essay or a term paper, you know, you have to put your name on that paper. But if you put the Lord's name and says, "This paper honors the Lord," well, I tell you what, you're going to do. If I'm putting the Lord's name on that, I want to do the very best. Everything you do, to please Him and honor Him. And you make putting Him first and living a life that shows how much He is worth to you brings growth. Life is short. You know, at 18, you think, boy, I've got a long time. I really did. When you're 18, you think, I've got forever. Well, I tell you, I've stood by the caskets of people who never made it to 18 or 22 or 30 or 40. Life is short. And at 52, I think, can it really be 34 years since I was 18 years old? It goes by quickly. And you think, well, I've got forever to figure it out. But folks, a lot of times people waste a whole lifetime living for self and don't find out that they've got a higher calling to live for the Lord, a life worthy of the Lord that pleases Him. And, I think of a man who's 80 years old or 82 years old. He's in rehab for his cancer surgery over in Jacksonville. I think of Pat Stumer's dad, Jake Stumer. Jake was a lineman for Ameren, or CIPS back then. And I want to tell you, he lives and is living a life that honors the Lord and pleases the Lord and is bearing fruit. And whether you're a lineman or a lunch worker or a school teacher or whatever, to live your life that whatever you do, I do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm going to take this CAT, I'm going to give this person, take them to the CAT scan and give the CAT scan in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Connie. Or I'm going to build this house or whatever in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when you put the Lord's name on it, that gives life significance. To live a life seeking Him first and His will. I talking about the Stumers, I was so glad to see Morgan. And you think, you know, sometimes people look at and they think, well, you know, but I tell you what, when Mo opened up his heart to doing something beyond himself, it's like, wow. You know, Mo Stumer, you know, learning to fly drones for the U.S. Army. You see, and he's extremely brilliant. I already knew that. But when you surrender, you say, Lord, whatever your will is, I'm going to do it. And when you say, Lord, I want to honor you with my life, He will bear fruit. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you live in me, abide in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. I think, you know, 18 years old, you got all these plans, and now you might be 58 or whatever age you are, and you look and say, well, you know, I don't know that much has happened. But I want to tell you, wherever you're at, you start where you're at, and you say, Lord, my life is in your hands. Amen. I want you to do your will in and through my life. And I'm going to begin whatever I do in your name. I want to abide in you, and I want you to abide in me. Jesus says you're going to bear fruit. You know, if you're connected to Jesus and you're allowing Jesus to flow in and through your life, something is going to happen. You know, I mean, when you're connected to the vine and you're in Him and He in you and you're abiding in His Word and you're asking according to His will through His Word, there's going to be fruit that's going to be born. And Paul says, I'm praying that for you. And that should be what we should expect, a year of great growth, living, knowing in God's will, and letting Him live through us, living a life worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit. Finally, Paul, as he's praying here, I pray that God will fill you a knowledge of His will through all the wisdom of Spirit. And he says, so that you might live a life worthy of the Lord, verse 10, and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. And then he says, growing in the knowledge of God. When an 18-year-old goes to college, there's a lot of general education courses. You can't get around it, Becca or Rachel, or, you know, you got to take math and science and reading and some art and a little bit of this, some basics that they want every student to know. When a young man or young lady goes to the armed services, you go through, 12 weeks of basic training. These are some basics you've got to know in order to live and survive and to know how to operate as a soldier or as a sailor, as a Marine or whatever. These are the basics. When it comes to growth, the basic thing is to know God. To know God through His Son, Jesus Christ. When it comes to spiritual growth, the most basic pursuit is growing in knowing the Lord. I want to know You, Lord. While we go, we sang in His presence. There is this in His presence. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter encourages the reader to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many courses of study that we might embark on, but the greatest thing is knowing Him, to know Him personally. Now, this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the beginning of growth is you have to be born anew. Amen. To be born again. To come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The only way you can truly know God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And through His grace, Peter says, that you might have a growing knowledge of God and His grace, His forgiveness. The greatest thing, an old chorus goes, in all my life is knowing You. As we grow to know Jesus, the goal is that we will become like Jesus, conform to His image. Romans 8:29 tells us we are predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son, to know Jesus and to become like Him. How will I know if I'm growing? So the truest marker of spiritual growth is, am I becoming more and more like Jesus Christ? Is my life bearing fruit? Am I becoming more and more like Him? The rest of this passage says, not only to growing in your knowledge of God, but being strengthened with all power. When you come to know Christ, He'll fill you with His Spirit, and there's power there. It says, according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. When you're 18, you think you can conquer the world. You have all kinds of energy. When you're 52, those of you in your 50s, do you ever feel like, boy, this is getting harder? This is getting harder to do. I didn't think that would ever happen. 18, you're ready to go. You know, you're Energizer Bunny, you know. 52, not so much. But I have found that my power and strength comes from Him.
Amen.
Knowing Him. Be empowered by Him. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father. Because I know I can't do it by myself. He was qualified to you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. I think something at 18, you're looking for your place in the world. You're like, where do I belong? What's my significance? Where do I fit in? I tell you, folks, I think we were to ask some of the 90 years old folks here that you could tell us. It all comes back to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You know, a couple, 3 months ago, I was with Dorothy. We were over there at the I don't know if it's, there's a funeral mill at the Masonic Lodge of American Legion in Divernon. And it was a class of 1940 or something, 42. Class of 42. And, that was a good-looking class, by the way, over there at Divernon, class of 42. And you think, man, how's it go by that quick? Because, you know, they look just like kids today. How will you know when you get to 90 that I live the life? It's in knowing Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and knowledge of the Holy One is the beginning of understanding, to know Him. I pray that this year will be a year of growth and a year of knowing God has a purpose for my life. And as verse 12 says, He has qualified us for a place in the kingdom of light. This morning, will this be a year of growth and fruitfulness for us? Will we surrender to His call and be willing to grow in our knowledge of Him? Softly and tenderly, He's calling us. That's our hymn of invitation this morning. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Would you come as we stand and sing?